Hello and welcome to Season 1, Episode 1 of The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz.
Oh, baby.
Well, Oz.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Mate, welcome listeners. Sorry, just getting straight into a conversation. welcome, guys, to The Purple Patch. To those people who are new listeners and haven't listened to our review podcast, The Purple Rain, feel free to listen to that. But guys, my name's Duck. We've got Oz opposite me.
Hello, people.
Two very passionate Purple supporters and Dockers supporters.
Very average supporters.
Very average. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, our support and our loyalty is, you know, tested us in times of the darkest hours.
That's funny this, Duck, because I've got a vision of Freo supporters in three segments, if you will.
Yeah.
Or three sections.
Okay.
At the left, the pure left, the rose-colored glasses, those where an atomic bomb could drop on the club, but everything's still okay.
Yeah.
Everything's super rosy. Far right, you've got the complete opposite.
The doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom, like the world's
sack
over.
Sack everyone.
That's it, sack everyone.
Yeah.
Someone fell over, end of the world. And then in the middle, I think it's where we sit. For the most part.
Yeah.
We ebb and flow from this.
Mate, I can go. I reckon I'm either end of the scale. I'm like, we lose and sack everyone. We win and get around everyone.
Yeah.
Oz, do you want to have a quick little, just to introduce yourself to new listeners maybe, a little bit of a background into yourself and your big highlight as a, well, not necessarily a highlight.
Well, it is a highlight.
A story as a Dockers fan, mate.
It's sad at the same time, but true. Well, firstly, I'm a battler in terms of being a supporter like everyone else out there. And I think the most important thing to get out of this pod is that it's a pod that's run by supporters. So the football club have been so generous to listen to us and suggestions that we have from purely a fan-based podcast perspective. And they were so keen to get on board and listen to the voice of fans rather than it being something prescribed by the club as such.
Yeah.
So we're recording this out of my house.
Yep.
So you'll probably will hear from time to time screams of my two-year-old daughter. So as Duck alluded to earlier, I have three kids. I'm a teacher by trade. And certainly one of the things about being a passionate supporter is that it gives you not just resilience, but a sense of patience.
Yeah.
That really helps me with my teaching.
Yeah.
So thank you, Fremantle Football Club, for that. I think one of the things that for me epitomized my my love for the club is 2013.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Oof.
Now, 2013, we make the grandy. In the prelim, my brother and I, halftime, we're like, mate, we've got to get tickets.
Yeah,
we've
book
got
the
to
bus, get
to book the bus. Book the bus. Sydney, bang, we're locked in. So we lock our flights in, pay a little bit of a premium because at that stage, you know, what naturally happens, all of a sudden airfares go up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what happens. But then we come to a bit of a crossroad, Duck, which is we didn't win the ballot or whatever it was. So we weren't able to get tickets that way. We didn't know anyone who was going to give up their tickets.
Yeah.
And so we ended up purchasing tickets from a friend of a friend who knew someone who actually sells tickets.
Okay.
And so ultimately what happened was these tickets were highly inflated.
Yeah.
And in order to get over to the grand final, I had to sell my prized MVP LeBron James jersey.
Oof.
Not that I'm a massive LeBron fan, but I'm a massive basketball fan.
Yeah, you are.
So I knew that that would collect value as it went on. So I sold that and that allowed me to go over. And then when I was over there, I managed to get there early Friday morning for the parade. And just by chance, because I was with my brother, bumped into this American guy who was wearing Freo gear. Had no idea who this guy was. We just struck up a conversation, Turns out to be Gil Griffin, who's...
Yeah.
Everyone should know who he is.
The number one American-based Dockers fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out, Gil. How you going, mate? And we end up talking. We're both in education, And I end up taking a basketball tour over and coached against his school over there. Just coincidentally, they spanked us, but that's another side note.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny how you meet and with Freo supporters, you just naturally are drawn to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny how these things work out. I can't remember much of what happens after probably in between third quarter and three quarter time. It's a bit blurry for me.
Yeah.
But I do know this. Every time I listen to Birds of Tokyo, it's like PTSD for me.
Yeah, you get flashbacks.
I have flashbacks and it's like spasms. Mm. And I really struggle with that lantern song.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same for you, mate.
Yeah.
Well. But it was a great day in terms of the festivities, the being part of a grand final. I'll never forget it. I'm very grateful for the football club in terms of allowing me to experience that, because I don't think I would have gone to a grand final if my team hadn't been playing.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think my beloved would have allowed me to go and pawn off particular memorabilia in order to go over and watch a random team play.
Yeah.
So, look, for me, that's my big story, Duck. Obviously, I'm very passionate about Fremantle. I'm just an average punter. I'm more basketball-related in my thinking and so forth. But I just love analysing the game. I love looking through stats, but I love also just watching the game at a pure fan's perspective. Whereas you are more of a pure footballer, Duck. And I know that you're not going to talk about yourself without me mentioning this, but I'd like you to talk about your professional background in terms of your coaching ability, because I think this is something that's really... See, I knew this would happen, but just tell us a little bit about that and then tell us about...
Oh, mate, I coach a bit of footy. I'm no bloody Jared Nation, or I'm more of on the Damien Drum scale of things, but I coach footy for about, 10 years now nearly, since I was a young fella and realised, you know what, I'm actually not very good at football, so I'm going to... Put my, I felt like I always had a pretty good footy brain, but never really had the ability. And plus, I was a bit of a practicing coward, so I didn't really like getting in there and getting in the tough stuff.
Yeah.
Mate, the only way I would describe myself is from, essentially, I became a fan of the Dockers full time. Like, we were country members, inaugural country members. Jumped on board, whole family on my mum's side were Eagles fans, and they just used to yell and scream at the TV, and they didn't really have much of a clue of what was going on with footy, you know, it's pretty gags, but we were country members, and we'd come up to the odd game, you know, hard coming up from Tambalup, and then of course if you hear the name Tambalup, you can automatically think of Jeff Farmer, and when Jeff Farmer came back to the Dockers, that's when I was like, I'm locked in, you know, I'm locked into the Freo all the way, and went to a lot of games with my brother back in the early Subi days when the Dockers used to win like every home game.
Yeah.
And we'd literally go from half forward flank to half forward flank, buy a couple of concession tickets, maybe one kid under the age of six because they never checked what was going on. So a couple of cheeky little tickets there. And essentially I put it out there when we first started the Purple Rain that I was the number one non-member holder. Essentially, guys, from 2011 through to 2017, I was not a member, and I would have missed about maybe three or four home games. I literally went to nearly every home game, and not like I bought tickets, I just managed to always find a ticket. So I was the guy who people went to when they're like, man, I've got to get someone to go to the footy, and especially, obviously the Dockers, and mate, Duck was the one that people called and said, hey, we've got tickets. I had Harbourmaster tickets for a while. I had like premium membership tickets. It just, whatever. I was always there and, you know, have a beer and have a bit of a yarn and just love watching footy, you know, more than anything.
And it was a bit of a running joke during the early phases of our pod, the fact that I'd been a member for ages, but you, and I was trying to convince you, come on, do it. Finally, you do it. And it's the year that I decide I'll just go with a paying membership, but without actually.
Yeah. Well, you pay $60 to the club for a card, mate. I mean, you're like the world's best member. You literally donated $60 to them. I don't know what you're like. I'm now a full paying member, so it's pretty interesting. Mum got us the tickets for my dad's 60th.
Asterisk.
Two tickets. So,
NBA title.
Yeah. So, you know.
Beautiful.
Anyway, let's get into it, guys. So just with the podcast, every week we will be going through the team. We'll be going through a little bit of the statistical stuff with the opposition, a little bit of opposition analysis, a little bit of the key matchups that we see. And then in the second part of the podcast, guys, we'll be having a look back, because there's nothing better than looking back at the early Docker years. And we'll be having a look at those people who we like to call dual citizens, those that have played for both the team that we're playing against during the round.
This is exciting.
In this round, it's going to be Port Adelaide. So we're going to have a look at, there's four guys, but we're in particular going to zoom in on one. And it might be someone different to those Purple Rainers that you guys were probably thinking, well, maybe there's a careless man we'll be talking about, but no. And then finally, guys, we're going to talk about the first time Port Adelaide and Dockers played. Now, this is purely based on statistics and having a look at things, but the team is a joy to behold. Like, honestly, it is the best, Oz, and you're going to love this when we run down through it. But let's get into the teams, because the teams have been announced, Oz. You're going to run through. Let's start with the Freo Dockers.
Yeah, look, this is pretty exciting because there's a couple of ins here that, as you would say, have you licking your lips.
Oh.
Very good. All right, so let's start with the back line here. We've got Wilson, Hamling, and Ryan. No surprise there. Blakely, Hughes, and Duman off the halfback. Centres, we've got Hill, that is Bradley Hill, Fife, and Langdon. Half forward, Brayshaw, Cox, and Walters. Forward, Conker, Hogan, and Matera. In the rucks, we've got Darcy, Tucker, and Mundy. On our interchange, this is where it gets exciting. Griffin Logue makes his debut this year. I'm pretty excited by that. Bewley, Switkowski, and get ready for it. S. Hill, mate. Oh, baby. So that means our ins, Darcy, Logue, and S. Hill. It's great to see Darcy come back from injury. So I'm looking very much forward to seeing what he can do. And outs, as it stands, Chero through illness, Lob, obviously, with his foot, and A. Pierce, unfortunately, with his ankle. We'll talk about the team in a second, Duck, but obviously just to counter that, Port Adelaide's team. So we'll spend a little bit of time just quickly mentioning that in case you're interested in the head-to-heads. So in the back line, we've got Burton, Cleary, and Houston. Halfback, we've got Hartlett, Jonas, and Byrne Jones. Centre, we've got Dersma, Gray, and Amon, which is, I believe, is his 50th. Half forward, we've got Westhoff, Howard, and Motlop. Forward for them, Gray, Ryder, and Rosie, who's turning out to be a nice little player. In the ruck, we've got Lysette, Powell Pepper, who's also playing his 50th, I believe, and Boak. And the interchange for them is Bonner, Lynott, Farrell, and Butters. And their ins are Hartlett, and out is Broadbent due to mental health.
Yeah. So, guys, Connor Blakely also playing his 50.
Oh, right? Well, yeah. I thought we were going to talk about that.
Now, shameless plug.
Yes.
But if you want to listen to Connor Blakely, he's actually on the Purple Rain. Mm. So you can look up that episode, looking up the Purple Rain. Sat down, he's had two conversations with us. And it just that's luck of the draw that he's actually playing his 50th, the milestone man there for the Dockers.
There's certainly a segue, Duck. And it's the Venn diagram in action.
Yeah.
There's Frio, there's Purple Rain, and there's love in the middle.
Oh, love in the middle. Bang. Now.
Yeah,
I thought it was Freo fans, podcast listeners, and Purple Rain.
I'm just making up a new Venn diagram.
Mate, Venn diagram central. Hey, so Oz, the big thing, obviously, coming out of the bye was Lob has also hurt his foot, as well as Alex Pierce. So,
yes.
Bit short in the ruck there, mate. Big Darcy, a.k.a. Hodor, as we like to call him, coming back in after a little bit of a shorter than expected break, which was quite nice because looked like he was going to be up for 4 to 6, but he's come back into the side. A little bit of a testing point for young Darcy now because we don't actually know how long Lob will be out for, but I think this is a good chance for Darcy to have a really good red-hot crack at it, a real big runner. He'll be the number one ruckman. He's going against two absolute, you know, really A-grade ruckmen in Lysette and Ryder.
Great test.
You know, so it's a really big test for him, and they're probably a little bit more athletic than what he is, but he's got that a bit bigger frame. He is a big boy, even though he's only still young. The other one was a bit interesting was Chera coming out with illness. He's probably got the dreaded Lurgy.
It's like, going around.
I've had the flu, mate. Your missus got the flu at the moment.
Look,
like,
basically looking after the family today. And you can probably hear my screaming two-year-old in the background, courtesy of the Villa de Oz. But anyway, yeah, it's definitely going around. It's nasty. And if he does have it, let's just hope it's a quick version of it.
Yeah.
Because...
And, mate, how's Port Adelaide last... not last round when they were playing in China 2 rounds ago. St Kilda got the gastric bug. And they've lucked out with a bit of the old illness.
But oh boy.
Hopefully Chair is back next week. Mate, very interesting to see, obviously, Logue come back in. Going to be set the challenge. I think he'll be playing maybe not as a key defender. Maybe they'll roll, you know, someone like Hughes might play a bit taller, even though he only is about 189. Or Duman, who's actually 191 centimetres. But I've got a match up with him that I think might be on the cards. But I think the Dockers will really look to, if you put Logue back, Blakely might roll up into the guts a bit more. But it'd be really interesting. Remember Logue being the number 8 pick from a couple of years ago? Injured pretty much all of last year, injured for the start of this year. And, you know, he's still only a young guy. Sometimes I have my doubts on him, but I'm really looking forward to him progressing and having, like, essentially the back end of the season to really cement his spot in the team and look like a bit of a star going forward.
Like you said, this back end is really his for the taking now. You get these opportunities, you really have to make sure you take it with both hands. It's a perfect... for a fan, it's a perfect opportunity for us to see not only his athleticism now, but how he's learnt about the game you know, more holistically. So it'd be good to see how he operates from the back line. I've got a little penchant for wanting to see him on the wing. There's no doubt about that. Whether that happens, who knows? But we have seen the capability in terms of his running in previous games. But it's just good to see him back after a long stretch out.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, I mean, he's been playing key defence back for Peel. And I guess the other thing that we've got is we've got Brandon Cox sitting there, mate, at centre half forward.
Yeah.
He's playing the forward line's been solid. He's kicked a couple of goals. Sometimes he does look a little bit, you know, laconic in his style. And maybe, let's say even if Logue or if something's not working out matchup-wise, Cox is someone that we can roll to the back line as well. So there's that flexibility within the side with guys being able to move around, which is actually a little bit exciting. And I think even if you're thinking about long-term putting Logue on the wing or getting him to play, but mate, I'm just really looking forward to him playing again. And he's got the haircut, which is a little bit, you know, if I'm his brand manager, I'm thinking, keep the salad, mate. The salad's what you're all about.
Yeah.
But I mean, he walked past us when we were down in the rooms for the Brisbane game. And I was like, that didn't even think he was like, I didn't know who he was. I was like, just didn't even clock him, mate. Nothing. He walked straight back. And then I was like, oh, Griffin Logue, haircut. Very sharp.
Very sharp.
Handsome dude.
Mm.
But haircut, you know.
Yeah.
There and about.
Going back to what you were saying about Coxie before, I think if we're doing matchups on personality, I think Westhoff and Cox would be the perfect matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, chilling.
Chilling.
Yeah. But obviously very smart with what he does. Both players actually... Very smart. If you look at their person and how they play football, extremely similar.
Yeah. I was just on the outs, just having a look at their injury list. It's very interesting looking at, and this was the thing that I thought was going to be the stat that mattered, was the outs from both teams. So it's really going to be a little bit of an interesting one. With Port's best 22, they've got Ebert, Rockcliffe, Watts, Wines and Dixon all out from their best 22. Mm. And that's five pretty quality players. But on the flip side, we've got Lobb, Pierce, Sandy, Tabernard, and Harley Bennell.
Oh.
In the best 22. Whoa. Rev it up, mate. Rev it up.
Look, listeners for the first time, can I just tell you a little secret? Oz has a secret love for Harley Bennell, okay? Whenever we talk about Harley Bennell on the show, we always talk about the potential, the montage. We always see the montage of training. We see what's going on.
Him getting a little bit faster each time. Ross on the stopwatch.
Bang.
And just
bit
shaking
of a montage.
His head.
Oh, not fast enough. Do it again. Yeah. Bang. So I'm very excited by this.
Mm.
But if you compare those players you talked about before, if you match that with any list of outs from any team, there's no AFL team right now that would not take that group of players.
Oh, yeah.
In almost their best, I would say in their best 22.
Yeah.
I mean, A. Pierce, all Australian.
Yep.
Blazer, rudely ripped off his back
because
of injury. Lobb, sensational season so far.
Yeah.
Contested marking beast. Santa Lanz is just waiting to get hold of this 6-6-6.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, curbed by injury, same thing. Mm. And then all reports from what we hear about training, the vision that we see about how smooth Harley moves and so forth. And we don't want to put too much pressure on the guy, but we both have secret love for Harley, no doubt about that. But his skills are elite.
Yeah.
And so, whew.
I think as well with the changes and the fans out there going, well, come on, let's get Bennell back in the team. You know, the big thing is that Ross has really preached as well is having that sanctitude of the team and that what would you call it? It's kind of like a loyalty to the team, especially that wins. I mean, we beat Collingwood last time we played at the MCG. I mean, it seems like a lifetime ago, but also you can't go changing that team too much who actually dominated Collingwood in pretty much most aspects of the game, except for on the scoreboard where we probably could have been a little bit further ahead. And if it wasn't for Sonny, mate, oh, baby, you know, pretty exciting stuff. But, you know, so you can't really go changing guys. But I think as well, you've got to have the attitude, hey, look, if this guy's a ranking out of 100, if this guy's a 65 and this guy's a 68, let's get that 3% higher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very interesting there. Mate, onto the key matchups that I've had a look at. Firstly, in our back line, we'll do this every week, guys. In our back line, I've seen the matchup of Taylan Duman. And I do apologise if I do get names wrong, guys. I will say I'm wrong all the time. Versus Connor, is it Rosie?
Rosie.
Um, Dooman obviously playing his 16th game. I just feel like his size, 193 centimetres, 83 kilos, however, very skinny, tall, skinny bloke. I think he may get the job on Rosie there. It may go to Ryan, but I think they like to free up Ryan a bit more. Great last two games he's played, 16 disposals and 9 marks versus Collingwood, and 16 disposals and 8 marks versus Brisbane Lions, mate. Only playing his 16th game. Rosie, on the other hand, 185 centimetres and 74 kegs, so a little bit of a height difference, but we know that Dooman's got that little bit of burst ability. Pick 5 in the draft last year. Played 11 games and kicked 15-9, including 5 versus Brisbane in a losing side. He had 16 disposals that day. Averages 16 disposals and 6 score involvements.
Yeah,
so
early on, he's looking...
he's looking pretty good.
But going back to Taylan Dooman, Duck, one of the things I like about Dooman is his one percenters. So he's averaging just under 3.5 one percenters a game. But he's also around the 13 pressure acts per game as well.
Mm.
That's gonna come in super handy against this kid who looks legit.
Yeah.
So this is one of those matchups on the side note where you go, this could almost determine, like, you know, a passage of 5, 6, 7 minutes or whatever could determine a very close game.
Yeah.
And I think
spot on there.
Don't want to very much go into your first time.
Yeah.
But when we talk about the last time they met, it was a very close encounter of the dire kind, is probably the best way to put it. I think the rain set in from memory and it was a very low scoring game. It was like
the last time we played them, we won by 9 points and it was 59-50,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
I do believe. I watched that with my lovely girlfriend.
Yes.
And that was, she's only watched the Dockers lose one game.
Yes.
And it was a derby in which we...
That was the one member game I missed last year. I was actually down south.
Oh, you didn't go to the Port Adelaide game?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was good. It was good fun.
Yeah.
No, it was a good win. The midfield, mate, the matchup in the midfield, there can only be one matchup that can't be ignored.
Here we go.
Travis Boak versus Nat Fyfe. Oh. Now, guys, these are two really big dudes that have really been going well. Now, Travis Boak is averaging 32 disposals, 6 tackles, and 7 clearances this year. He's up plus he's gone up 10 disposals from per game than 2018. He's pretty much 2017, 16, 17, and 18, he averaged about 23 to 24 disposals. He's at 32 disposals at the moment per game, really dominating and a little bit of an unsung hero in Port Adelaide's, a little bit of a semi-renaissance in the fact that they have changed over a fair few players and they're still going all right. Mate, top 10 in the fairest and best. That's the wrong guy. Nat Fyfe as well.
That was the music, by the way.
Sorry, mate. That's the music for Nat Fyfe.
You probably should mention, because otherwise people are wondering, why is there music in the background? So we just occasionally put music to players.
Yeah.
We try and do as many as we can.
Nat Fyfe being Maverick, obviously.
Yes, correct. And so we see Maverick v. Iceman.
Oh, Maverick v. Iceman.
Maverick v.
Good.
Iceman.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Fyfe, mate, obviously averaging 29 disposals, 8 clearances and 4 tackles. Mate, I honestly still think he is flying under the radar for the Brownlow.
How is it possible that he's flying under the radar?
No one's talking about him, mate.
That's because it's the Eastern States.
But
I mean, you know,
he got that criticism at the start of the year, man.
That's true.
The big thing that I'm seeing here, mate, this is why this is the key matchup. With the Dockers ruck stocks limited at the moment, We know Big Hodor's still is going to be there. But, I mean, it's his third year player he is now. Mate, his second half of the season is going to have to be big from the skipper. We're going to have a big second half of the season.
I mean, he's going at just under 30 disposals a game. Just under 18 of those are contested possessions.
Mm.
And he's averaging just a little over 5 marks a game at 389 metres gamed. How can you possibly, if you're an Eastern States commentator... I do understand.
They only know Nat Fyfe as well, which is weird. Maybe because they've all of a sudden discovered another player in Sonny Walters. They're like, oh,
we're confused. There's more than one player.
Well, I think they're like, well, we've got 2 minutes for the Dockers, so we can either talk about Nat Fyfe being good or we can talk about Sonny Walters. Well, we saw Sonny Walters kick the goal.
Yeah, this is true.
So we'll just...
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, Sonny Walters kicked a goal to win the game. Oh, yep. He kicked a point to win the game. He's really great.
Moving
awesome.
On.
Awesome. Yeah. Next. Oh, I tell you what, Collingwood.
Yes.
And the last one, mate, is this the matchup of Tom Cleary, Port Adelaide's key defender, 193 centimetres and 88 kegs. Picked a pick 29 in 2012. Has only played 71 games, but in that 7 years. Top 10 in their fairest and best last year and usually takes their top forward versus our man, Jesse Hogan, mate. Now, Hogan's Heroes, who, you know, has really just slowly worked into the team, and, you know, he's going all right. He's going all right. 195 centimetres and 99 kegs, the big Hoag. So got a bit of weight on Cleary, which is going to be helpful to throw it around. Last time he played at Optus, didn't get a kick versus Brisbane. Came into the game a little bit in the last quarter. 2-1 versus Collingwood.
Some crucial hands looked a bit in that better. Last quarter passage in that chain. Oh, boy.
Against Collingwood. Looking for a breakout game from the big fella. And with the likes of Lobb and Tab and Cox potentially playing more in the ruck and down back and that kind of stuff potentially happening, we really need to see Jess just come in and really take the game by the scruff, mate. And I'm predicting.
Here we go.
Well, I'm not predicting, I'm hoping.
Yep.
I'm praying.
Yep.
I'm on my knees. 5 goals.
Well, he's just around the corner from a tear out.
Had the week off. Foot's been rested.
And that's the thing. That's just to, again, I know there's a lot of criticism that comes his way, but let's just be mindful of the fact that he has been out with a serious foot injury, had a limited, if any, preseason, and is basically spending, I think his number ranks number 2 from memory, Duck, in terms of time on ground. So he's getting there. Mm. And I tell you, when he takes the game apart, it is going to be something to behold. So I'm very much looking forward to your prediction coming true. Hashtag prayers for Hoags.
Yeah.
Let's hopefully see this happen on the weekend, because I tell you what, this would be very exciting.
It would
for
be.
The brand of Hogan.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Hogan's Heroes. Now, Oz, we can hear your daughter crying at the moment. You won't be able to hear it because no one else can hear it.
I'm telling you, if you're astute, you'll be
able
to hear it.
You can't, mate. Trust me.
Yeah.
Mate, you've got 3 kids.
I've got 3 kids.
I've got something for you, mate.
Go.
All right. Guys, the game on Saturday actually is the Kids Day Out promo. It's a Saturday game.
Dump your kids and run. Well, sorry, that's not what it
is. No, don't dump your kids and runs, mate. Get ready for the Kids Day Out when Freo Dockers take on Port Adelaide this Saturday. Make your little Dockers day by purchasing an adult general admission ticket through Ticketmaster and receive up to four free junior tickets.
If you want to buy friends for your kids, this is the best way to do it.
Mm. Mate, you got some kids.
Billy, Johnny, Freddie, Ned. I don't know. Get them all in. Just get them all in.
So if you're listening, if you've got kids, if you're a bit trepidatious about going to the game, which you shouldn't be because, you know, hopefully, I don't know, actually haven't checked the weather. Probably should check the weather.
It should be clearing. I'm told that it should be clearing. I think
Saturday
is the last of the...
Yeah, maybe some clearing showers, which would be good, mate. I just had my radar and Tambler. I've got the farm down there. Got to keep the
good
rain
stuff,
coming.
Yep.
But guys, bring the whole family down early for plenty of fun family activities. They've got heaps of activities down there at the Dockers.
Guaranteed
before
face
the
painting.
Game.
Guaranteed face painting. That's the winner.
All kinds of stuff. Check their website. Okay, guys. And it'd be great to get down. Bring your kids, mate. Saturday. Get down. Enjoy the footy. Lovely day.
Saturday night?
No, I said Saturday. Oh, sorry,
okay.
Mate. Saturday.
No.
Cut it. All right, guys. But we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to look back at a dual citizen. Oh, yeah. A guy's played for both Dockers and Port Adelaide. Let's see if you can guess it. We're also going to have a look at the first time the Dockers played Port Adelaide and the team. Whoa, hot dog. It is a team, all right. Welcome back to episode 1, season 1 of the Purple Patch with Duck and Oz. We're here to preview all things Dockers coming up this weekend versus Port Adelaide.
I almost sung the PR bit there, so I had to stop myself.
Ah, you can't sing the Purple Rain theme tune,
no,
guys.
No, cannot.
Guys, if you haven't heard us before and you just decided to listen to the podcast halfway through, just skip to the middle. I'm Duck. Oz is on mic now.
Yeah.
And we're from the Purple Rain podcast, and the Fremantle Dockers have been kind of nice to give us the reins, the Purple Reins, on the Purple Patch.
Yes.
Which is the preview podcast for each week's game.
The premier
preview podcast. The Dockers are very fortunate in the fact that they've had a lot of players that have played for other teams.
Yes.
and I like to call these guys dual citizens.
Yep.
And there's the very few within the dual citizens that have done the ultimate trifecta of gone to the Dockers, gone to another team, then come back to the Dockers or vice versa. And so there's a few. You think of them, Tarrant and Crode and, you know, Peter Bell, things like that. But let's just talk about, we've got four dual citizens that have played for both the Dockers and Port Adelaide. Number one being Daniel Pearce, one of our all-time favourites on the Purple Rain. Number two being Nick Lower, who played about 20 games for the Dockers and 20 games for Port Adelaide. Number three, Jared Schofield, who played 131 games for Port Adelaide. I didn't realise he played so many games of footy. 63 for West Coast and 12 for the Freo Dockers. But the guy we're going to put into the spotlight today, mate,
brum, brum,
is a man, yeah, who the classic, why can't Josh Carr play footy? Because he's only got one boot. That was one of my earliest jokes I ever heard. I remember my old man telling me that.
Yeah.
Josh Carr, who played 105 games for Port Adelaide, then came to the Dockers and played 83 games, then went back to the Port Adelaide and played 19 games. So the ultimate back and forth man, the yo-yo man, if you want to call him that. Mate, known as a bit of a tagger slash hard inside midfielder, all guts, mate, very, very tough player, won the Ross Glendening medal back in 06. And, you know, my memory of Josh Carr is giving Daniel Kerr, Chris Judd and Ben Cousin a bit of the old business in a derby.
Yep.
Just giving them the business,
that was
business,
06, wasn't it?
Bit of argy-bargy. I think it was 06.
Yeah.
From what I remember, yep. 06. So, you know, just his aggression towards the ball and his aggression towards the ball carrier often.
Just life in
and
general.
And the way that he essentially got players off their game a little bit and really worked hard. And him and his brother, Matt, it was a bit of vinegar and honey in a sense as well, because Matt, even though he was a bit of a tagger as well, but yeah, he'd go forward a lot of the time and be damaging. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like,
one of the things about Carr that I loved was watching the GF when Port, they beat Brisbane that year and had a bit of a stoush with one Jay Brown.
Oh, yeah, he got punched right in the head, didn't he?
Yeah, and then just took it. And
just
then
took
just,
it right in the head.
Just kept swinging. Oh, wow.
Mate,
it's an interesting... but yeah, he was one of those players that added a lot of grit once he came over. And that was, I think, a bit of a turning
that toughness
point.
We
yeah,
needed.
Toughness
and,
we needed.
And in 2006, a very crucial part in the season that we went 15-7 and made it to the prelim final in 2006. Very crucial part of that. Fifth in the fairest and best that year in the Doig and sixth in 2007. So did a pretty good job when he came to the Dockers, getting in the top, you know, top five, top six of the fairest and best is always a good thing. To get over here, Oz, to come to the Dockers, we gave up pick 11, 27 and 45, right? Now, this is where I love deep diving into the trades, because you've got to also look, you know, a picks is only as good as the guy you pick up. So he played 83 games for us. With pick 11, Port Adelaide picked a guy by the name of Aaron Shattuck, who played 11 games. Oh, no, sorry. Adam Thomas, sorry, who played 28 games. With pick 27 and 45, they then flipped that into a guy from Brisbane called Aaron Shattuck, who played 11 games, and pick 34, who was a guy by the name of James Ezard, who played 4 games. So you quickly add those up, 39, you know, 43 games in total from 3 guys versus Josh Carr, who played the 83 for Dockers and nearly got us to the promised land. And, you know, I believe that Josh Carr was one of the guys who thought, especially in 06, that if we could play the Eagles in that final and we just fell down against Sydney in that prelim, we probably weren't prepared to play it. But I think
we're ripped off, mate. Watch that game again. You see some egregious calls. Don't start me.
Mate, you know,
but I do the bib because I think Port Adelaide lost out on that. And there's one thing that we talk about as Freo fans is always defending trades and always defending draft picks and so forth. Here's a great example of when we actually won, but we don't bring that up, do we?
Yeah.
So fans, there's something in your arsenal to talk about when a West Coast supporter brings up the fact, or how about this? Well, how about this?
Mate, how good's this for in that 06? In 06, I got a job stacking shelves at the Wembley IGA, right?
That's actually a good IGA.
Mate, the first game...
Sorry.
Right, the first final we played at home against Melbourne. No, because we lost the first one, didn't we? We lost, and then we played Melbourne at home, right? And I was like, oh, I want to watch this game, so I said I was sick, right? Went down the park and kicked the footy with my mate, and then karma hit me, mate. Phone's ringing, my mobile phone's ringing, but I left it in the car. It's Dad. Oh, we're at the game. We've got a spare ticket for you if you like. Where was I, mate? Just kicking the footy with my mate. Watched it on TV. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Could have been out the ground. And then for the prelim, I didn't even watch it. I was stacking shelves. I mean, what a just an absolute loser.
I do remember the prelim and thinking that we were robbed.
I don't know what I was thinking,
egregious
mate.
Calls.
I was a...
egregious!
I think I was 18. I was 18 and I had no clue. All right, mate, let's go to the last time they played.
Here we go.
Believe it or not, Oz, the first time they played. We're going to the first time, not the last time. The first time they played. I even wrote down the last time they played. The first time the Fremantle Dockers and Port Adelaide played was round 13. The same round as it is right now, 1997, in front of 30,827 at Football Park. Oof. Remember Football Park?
Oh.
Mate, apparently that was like, I never went to Football Park, but apparently it was in the equivalent of like, say, where, like out in Midland. Like it was right out of the city.
Shoes
like,
are optional.
Port Adelaide, 10-9-69, defeated the Fremantle Dockers 7-12-54. Freo started slow, had a bit of a solid third quarter, but lost due to inaccurate kicking was the general summary of the game, which if that ain't a summary of a Dockers game, I don't know what is. Mate, some highlights of some guys who played. Craig Callaghan, 32 disposals.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Craig Callaghan with 32 touches. Andrew Wills with 20 disposals.
Oh, yeah.
Dale Kickett, 21 disposals. And Shane Parker, 21 disposals as the backman. It's pretty exciting. Kingsley Hunter.
Yes.
Had 7 touches and kicked 3 goals, yes. too.
Kingsley.
How good's that? Big Kingsley. Heath Black, playing as an 18-year-old in his 9th game, was in there. And Dale Kickett actually played his 100th game.
Oh,
so
boy.
Pretty exciting. The journeyman Dale Kickett, mate. Let's just go through this team, mate. And I've done it in alphabetical order so you can get excited.
Ugh.
We've got Allen, Bandy, Black, Burton, Callaghan, Carroll, Chisholm, Clement.
Ah, Chisholm.
Durkay, Gale, Hunter, Kickett, Leach, Mann, McGovern, Mitchell, Norrish, O'Reilly, Parker, Toya, and Wills. That's 21 of the best, mate.
If I just put it out there, right? In today's football landscape, with today's skills, and also the what do you call it? The game plans.
Yeah.
That team's actually quite suited to today's landscape.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not a lot of mobile ruckman. Mobile ruckman.
Bandy, the mobile ruckman, Burton, the big tall guy. You know, you got a lot of pace with Heath Black coming off the halfback flank, Scotty Chisholm and Gary Durkay across the halfback flank.
Baby.
Maybe chuck in Dale Kickett in the guts. You know, mate, O'Reilly is our key defender. Toya and Callaghan around the coalface, just getting confused with each other. No one knows which is which. They're just. But, mate, what a team. What a team. And just every week, guys, we're going to go back now. A lot of the times it's probably going to be 1995. And, we're just going to go through the team and see how they go. So, Oz, before we go, predictions. How do you reckon we're going to go this weekend?
Oh, we've got to win.
Yeah?
And that's not just because I'm on the left side now of being rose-coloured glasses wearing.
As we are every Thursday, mate. Always going to win every Thursday.
Tell you why we're going to win this game, mate. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to get up. We're going to get up because of the run that we've had in terms of confidence, in terms of this team gelling together, and in terms of now understanding the game plan. Now, let me go a little further by saying this. Past couple of years, it's taking us a little bit of time to get into the structure and understanding the structure and
young guys,
working at young guys now. But now that they understand exactly what they're supposed to do, their confidence in now reading and playing off that is, you can just see it. It's now innate.
Yeah.
So watching the game plan come to fruition is sensational, but also watching the players off instinct is even more exciting.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing more of that.
Yeah.
And it's coming through. I also think we're actually quite well suited playing Port Adelaide. I think some of the matchups you alluded to earlier were fantastic, but I've got us winning. Get this.
How much, bro?
By 4 goals.
4 goals.
Lock
hot
it in.
Hot dog, mate. If we win by over 10 points, I'm going to be excited. I think, Dockers in the absolute nail-biter again. I'm going to pick a man to do it 3 times in a row. Sonny Walters to kick a goal with less to kick. I'm going to say this. Sonny Walters will kick the last score of the game.
Yep.
Yeah?
Trifecta.
The last score of the game for us to win. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
3 weeks in a row.
But I also think, Oz, this game, total points could be less than 100.
You think it's going to be close?
50. It's going to be close and it's going to be low scoring. Put your house on it, mate.
I still think there's a lot to be said about going over to China, playing.
Yeah. Getting gastric.
And getting...
Coming back.
Mate, that's sapping weather. It's not cold over there.
They've had a week and a half. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, you're flying a long-haul flight.
Yeah.
And then coming back. It's... Yeah.
How's mate, Port Adelaide actually gone Launceston. And, mate, it's unbelievable. They've flown. They've had more miles than buddy Matty Pavlich. They've gone China, Launceston, and now Perth in their last three games.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. That's three big road trips.
Yeah. Mm. Well, now they feel, you know, as a
Fremantle
supporter.
I wonder if the Dockers
supporter.
Still travel more than Port Adelaide in terms of total distance. I wonder if that trip to China
makes up all the little trips across
everywhere.
Possibly. Mm. We'd have to look into that.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz. If you like this, why not give our review podcast a listen? That is called The Purple Rain. Rain spelled R-E-I-G-N. We're on iTunes. So, guys, as well, thank you very much for listening. Remember to share with a friend. Share with a Dockers supporter, of course. Please review, rate, and subscribe, rate, and review The Purple Patch, because that helps us out. Share with a friend. Let us know any feedback in the review system. And, guys, once again, thank you very much to the Fremantle Dockers for giving us this platform in which to share some of the fans' thoughts.
Let's go, Frio.